verse 14, it says, and the Lord, Judges 6, verse 14, and the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of the Midian. Do not I send you? And he said, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midians as one man. And if we go down to verse 33, now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezerites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl of water. Then Gideon said to God, let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. So, just here in this passage of scripture, God speaks to Gideon. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next few weeks, is how does God speak? And how do I hear God? So, you know, I suppose if I give you a couple of examples, I was here on Wednesday at Encounter. Usually when I come to Encounter, I take my shoes off. Just like to take my shoes off. And I was worshiping God, and I looked down at my sock, and my sock said devil, D-E-V-I-L. So here I am, I'm worshiping God with a sock that says devil. And I just thought, do you know, I should not be wearing these socks. Just something in there troubled me. It was just like, it just doesn't feel right to wear socks that say devil. So how do you end up wearing socks saying devil? All it was, we bought a pack of Marvel superhero socks, and one of the Marvel superheroes is called Daredevil, which, you know, one who takes risks. But my trousers were covering the dare, and I could just see the devil. I just felt troubled what I should wear. So anyway, I went home and I binned my sock. Just the one, both of them, in fact. And it was just like, I just felt troubled. Didn't feel quite right. And sometimes that's how God speaks to us. The Holy Spirit just says, no. And then a few weeks ago, I was praying, and another example of how God speaks. You know, I was praying, and sometimes God drops, if you like, a person or a thought into my consciousness. So I'm just praying away, and I just start thinking about this person that is not a friend, not a Christian, but an associate. And I was aware that they were going to enter into a business transaction. And I felt, just thinking about them in prayer, and God, I felt God say to me, just the thought came to me, share this Hebrew proverb with them. That's what you call the Bible when you're talking to somebody who's not saved. Oh, there's a Hebrew proverb. Share this scripture with them. So I said, okay, I was about to share the scripture with them, get on my computer, email them, and I just feel troubled here. No, don't do it now. Don't do it by email, do it in person. Well, I don't see them that often, but I saw them a couple of weeks later. And I shared the Hebrew proverb with them. I kind of thought it was God. The next day they wrote to me, or was it maybe 2 days later, and they said, later that day, I had a meeting, and it was as if your advice had been some sort of premonition. It was actually very spooky how relevant your advice became, and I want to thank you. God spoke. And you know, sometimes I don't know if it's God, but I just get an impression or a thought about somebody, and I'll share it. You know, and you have to be wise, because, you know, you don't want to share people things with people that are going to mess their lives up or anything, saying God said this or God said that. But sometimes God just tells me things. I don't see anything. I don't hear anything. Just a thought drops into my consciousness about a person. And what I have seen down the years is, as I have shared that thought, it has become very apparent it's God speaking to them through me. Just little ways God speaks. And we're going to look at how God speaks, because it's really important to realize that he does speak. So here we have in verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? Verse 16, and the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. So you have two occasions where it says, the Lord said, the Lord said. So God's speaking, and God is speaking to Gideon at this point. So there's no question about it. God has spoken. And here's the thing is, there's no question about it. God will speak to you and to me. So, you know, if you go into work on Sunday or Monday, Sunday, you don't work on Sundays because you're here. And you say, God speaks to me, that they'll think that maybe you're a bit odd, I guess. But the reality is, God does speak to you. And God wants you to learn how to hear his voice better. But we have a speaking God, not a silent God. And when God speaks to you, it causes you to step out. So Gideon heard the word of God, and the next thing we see is Gideon steps out on the journey. And it says this in verse 33, the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezerites, that's his tribe, his clan, if you like, they called out to follow him, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, that's his tribe, and then they came too, and then he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naph, I can't even say that, but there's other tribes, this thing's getting bigger. Starts with Gideon, calls a family, calls a tribe, calls other tribes. And it says he is clothed with the Spirit of God. So something is, he's just being fired up. God has come on him. And he's just going for it. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it sets us on an adventure. And it's when you feel strong and invincible. Spirit of God is moving. Spirit of God is speaking, and it gives you, it's just like this energy. It's like sometimes it's, you know, you come to church sometimes and you gather with the people and we worship together and we come under the word and somebody encourages you with the word of God and you go out feeling like you can change the world. You ever felt like that? You know, it's like just like the word has done something. The Spirit has spoken to you and you can go out of here, and that's how Gideon was. He sounds the trumpet. The people come to his banner. And, you know, when you're in a church, when you're surrounded by people sounding the trumpet, people excited about God, like-minded people, worship's amazing, just everything. It's just like it creates a momentum and a charge and a strength. And here's Gideon. This is what's happening here. But we all have to go home. And we all have to be by ourselves. And when we get by ourselves, that's when the enemy seeks to steal the word. Luke 8 verse 12 says, the ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes, that's why we don't want him on our socks. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. So God sows the word into you and off you go. And it says, but he'll come and try and take it away. He'll try and take it away. Take away what God has sown. And it's, if we're not active in our faith, if we're passive in our faith, we can find things God said to us stolen from us. And we look at the circumstances and we look at the situation and we look at things. And then the devil comes along, and one of his lines that he's been using ever since the beginning is, did God say? Did God say? Did he really say that about you? Did he really say that? Did God say? And we start to just struggle with what we thought God said before he had said. Now we think he said, did God say? And then the other thing he does is he does what he did to Jesus. He twists the truth. This is what God said. Pulls it out of context and tries his best to undermine the Son of God. And he'll try and do that. The Son of God that lives in you by faith, he'll try to undermine you by twisting the scriptures. And this is kind of what's happening to Gideon now. You know, he's called the men together. The Spirit of God has come on him. And then he has to go to his tent by himself. And the tactic of the enemy is, look at that mighty army. And it leads to the third thing, a crisis of faith in the Word of God. And all over the nation, there is a crisis of faith in the Word of God. Gideon seems to have a crisis of faith and needs God to confirm the Word. So if we read it again, verse 36. Then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand. It's really interesting, isn't it? It says, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. So he's having this crisis. He's saying, God, I'm struggling here. I see the immensity of the enemy. I see the immensity of what I have to face, and I'm struggling. Now, you said this, and if you really said this, that you're going to save Israel by my hand, could you confirm it, or could you just do this with the fleece? And sometimes we can be like that in that the Bible says certain things and we say, well, that's the Word of God. But because of the weakness of where we are, the doubt in our heart, we're struggling. You know, if you said, mercy follows me all the days of my life. If you said, enter boldly into the throne of grace. If you said, the blood of Jesus washes away all my sin. Can you just help me? Can you just help me? So Gideon, he had the word. This was the word. Verse 14. Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you. Now, that's pretty clear to me. Is it clear to you? Yeah. Then here's the other word. Verse 16. I will be with you and you shall strike the Midians as one man. It's pretty clear to me. Is it clear to you? Yeah. But me and you are not facing Midianites. Me and you are not facing the enemy. Me and you are not facing. And it's interesting, not just the Midianites, is it? It says the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people of the east now, so it's grown bigger. And what Gideon is going through is what many of us go through at different times, is this crisis of, did you really say that, God? And you have it in front of you. You have it in black and white. But you need God to somehow come and just reinforce what he's said, because you're floundering in your faith. And let me just tell you, that's okay, providing you go to God. See, what the devil wants you to do is you're floundering and he wants you to move away from God. The excitement of the visitation has passed and he's now facing a massive army. When we face the realities of our situation, we can start to doubt. Gideon started off well, Now he's facing all these enemies and he's asking questions. And you know, I've felt like Gideon sometimes where I'm pastoring this church and I've said to myself, you know, well, God, did you really call me? You know, I've struggled with doubts and, you know, it's just sometimes I think, am I deluded? And God, you've got to help me and I need you to just reinforce. Because of the weakness of my flesh. And he's starting to doubt the word. And in his crisis, he asks God to confirm the word with the laying of the fleece. So we see this story. He laid a fleece down and he said, well, just let there be water on the fleece and the ground dry. And I'll trust you. And that's exactly what happened. And then he said, well, God, don't be angry with me again. And then he said, let me just have the water on the ground, because it's like wool attracts moisture more than the ground, maybe he's thinking. Let the ground be wet and the fleece dry. And so it was. And so we're not going to look at the fleece so much today, because the fleece is within the context of how God speaks. But what we see here is God responds to Gideon and confirms the word. And in this situation, with the miracle of the dew on the fleece. And God will respond to our struggles and our doubts by confirming his word in such a way that we can trust him. So I want to ask the following questions. Is how does God speak? And how do I know it's God? And is it right to lay my own fleece down? So just some practical questions. And I suppose if you turn to Matthew 9, verse 9, that would be a good place to start. Everything starts with a call. Jesus says, follow me. So Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me, and he rose and followed him. So Matthew's working a normal job. Well, it's not really a normal job. He's a tax collector, hated by his people, and Jesus sees something in Matthew, and he says, follow me. And immediately you see Matthew gets up from the table, his money, I don't know whether he left his money there, whether he had an associate that sorted it out, and he starts to follow Jesus. And then Matthew goes on this journey. He doesn't know the implications of following Jesus. He just knows, I am going to follow Jesus. And Matthew ends up writing the Gospel of Matthew. He ends up as one of the apostles of Jesus in the first century. And tradition has it that he was martyred for his faith. So Matthew's sitting at a desk and Jesus says, follow me. Now, you and me, when we become followers of Christ, when we become Christians, we are in one life, and then Jesus comes and says, follow me, I'm going to take you into another place. And that place might be geographic, but it just, he changes our life. He takes us to a new place in Christ. And this call is so important. It's something that God is calling us to follow. So if I want God to speak to me, I have to have a priority in my arm. A preeminence in my heart is this. I am going to follow Jesus. It's got to be preeminent. It's got to be the first thing. Because you can't do both. You can't live one life and then a different on a Sunday. You either follow Jesus or you don't. And until you're in the place where you're going to follow him, Jesus just waits. But the following is just so amazing. So turn with me to Hebrews 11. This is the call of Abraham. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. So here's Abraham. He lives in Ur of the Chaldeans, which is around Babylon, and he hears God. We don't quite know how God spoke to him. The point is, God did speak to him, and he said, Abraham, follow me to the place I'm going to take you to receive as an inheritance. And it says, Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. And that's kind of the thing with following the call, is you don't really know where the call's going to take you. And so here he is, he goes out, doesn't know where he's going. And it says he lived by faith in the land of promise. So we have to follow the call. We don't know where it's going to take us. I mean, some of us who are older in the tooth know somewhat where it's taken us previously and so forth. But we're looking for something. And God put something in our hearts that we're looking for. It's a city that has its foundations and builder in God. And Abraham's call is very much the call of every Christian. It's by faith we follow. We come to faith in Christ, and then Christ says, follow me. You know, and for some of us, it's, well, for all of us, it's different, but we're part of a body, we're part of a family. You know, I was called at 19 years old, years age, and after I was called, I followed Jesus. And for me, I went in a sort of roundabout way to Bridgend. So I got called, and God said, go and live with your mother and support her. My mum was living by herself at the time. I don't know how I supported her. She cooked for me, washed for me, cleaned for me, looked after me. But I was there, you know. Maybe to give her some purpose in life. Look after your son. I don't know. But I spent a year in Porthcawl. I tell this story. It wasn't the greatest place in the world to live at that time. But it was where God wanted me to pitch my tent. And whilst I was there, I went to a Bible camp. And the Bible camp, I met a girl, and the girl said that they was planning on going on what was called a go team, and she said, oh, why don't you come to the presentation with me? So this girl took me to the presentation, and I ended up going on a go team, and she didn't. And I moved my tent up to Scotland, and while I was there, I met Jane, and I moved my tent to London to study as a doctor. And while I was there, God said, move the tent again. And I moved the tent back to Bridgend. And then God stopped speaking to me about moving. And I've been here 30 years. Might be here another 30. I don't know. But it was this sort of God wanted me in Bridgend. And he saw that when he saw me in Hong Kong. And he said, there's my son. I'm going to call him. I'm going to bring him back to Bridgend. And that's what happened. And God will do the same for you. He'll call you. And if you like, it's not about moving around all the time. It's about following him. But how did he do it? How did he direct me? How did I know? How was I able to follow? They're all the sort of questions, you know, because I can say, well, God spoke to me when I was in medical college. But what did it feel like? What did it look like? How did he do that? So I want to talk about how God speaks. He speaks in two ways. He speaks relationally. Okay? So they're the relationship ways. And then he speaks supernaturally. And the relational is the norm. The supernatural is the extraordinary. So I don't wake up in the morning and boom. An angel appears and says, Alex, I want you to do this today, and I want you to not wear those socks, and I want you to go this way, and, you know, do that, and go and see Lance and Michelle, and then after that, go and see. No, the angel doesn't visit me every day. In fact, I've never seen an angel. I don't know if anybody's seen an angel here. I know that there are angels because I read my Bible, and I've met one person who says they've seen an angel. I just haven't. So we're going to look at that. So the first lot are the most important ones. Because God is always speaking. And let's start by considering, well, how he speaks. So the relational ways. Number one, turn with me to Hebrews 1 And I don't have scriptures for every way, but I'll just talk around them. But this is important. Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 2. Long ago, at many times in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, who he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So God speaks to us through Jesus. So God speaks to us through Jesus' life, Jesus' death, Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' ascension, and Jesus' return. God speaks to us through his Son. If I want to know what God looks like, I look at his Son. Jesus himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the Son is preeminent. And in my thinking, if I want to know what God has got to say about something, look at the Son. Look at Jesus. In fact, Jesus is the door to the Father, because through his death, we can be reconciled. Second thing is this. Through his word. Jesus is the word of God. Jesus is the revealed word of God. And the word, the scriptures, are the plumb line we hold to. Jesus, when he was talking about the Bible, he said from Moses through the prophets, all of the Bible points and talks about him. If I want to understand salvation, I have to understand. I look at Passover and atonement. If I want to see what Jesus is like, I read the Gospels. If I want to see what God's got to say about something, I look at the Scriptures. God speaks through his Scripture. And there is what we understand, the written Word of God, the Logos Word of God, which is this word here. It's Logos. It's written down for us. But what God is able to do is he's able to make his written word Rhema, which is the breath of God, the spoken word of God. And he takes this word, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, the Bible says. And he speaks to me out of this word, and it brings life to me. And because he does that, that's why you can sit here and I can preach a sermon, through commas, and people hear different things. Because what God does is he brings alive his word as I'm sharing it in different ways to different people. I'm not trying to educate you. Most of you who have been around a bit, I don't need education in the things of God in that sense. I'm trying to inspire you, and I'm praying that God would speak to you. Then he speaks by his Spirit. So when we become Christians, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes within us to live in us. And he speaks. The inner voice. Do you know, because the Bible here doesn't have everything. In the sense of, when I say doesn't have everything, what I mean is that, you know, if I look in the concordance, it doesn't say Marks and Spencers. There's no Marks and Spencers in the Bible. And, you know, sometimes God might want to talk to you about Marks and Spencers. He did me once. So I'm praying one evening, and I just feel like this prompting on the inside of me says, go to Marks and Spencer's. There's somebody I want you to meet there. Okay. Well, I can't look Marks and Spencer's up in here because it's not in here. But I just have a conviction on the inside. The only problem was it's 2 in the morning. So off I went to Marks and Spencer's at a particular entrance. I knew the entrance, and I stood at this entrance feeling a bit like a Wally, you know, doing that. Did I hear God? Didn't I hear God? Didn't. But I just thought, well, what harm is it going to do if I'm wrong? What harm would it do if I just went to Marks and Spencer's, felt like a Wally, and went home? Not much. But I just felt this conviction on the inside. So off I go to Marks and Spencer's. I stand outside this entrance. I could see the entrance in my prayer. And I wait. And within about 5 minutes, this man comes and starts to talk to me. And for 30 minutes or so, it might have been 20, I can't remember exactly, I'm talking to him about the things of Jesus. And then he says, thank you very much. And off he goes, and I never see him again, never seen him since. And do you know what I do? I go home to bed, because it's late. But what I'm trying to say is that sometimes God just speaks to us by his... I felt like when I was wearing those socks that the Holy Spirit was saying, put them in the bin, Alex. You don't need those socks. And sometimes, you know, I remember having a row with somebody and I was right. Ever had a row with somebody and you're right? So I'm right. They need to come and apologize to me because I'm right. And the Holy Spirit says, ask them to forgive you. Say sorry. And I just noticed this conviction, the inner voice, because we were both right and we were both wrong. And sometimes these things aren't about who's right and wrong. It's about relationship. And relationship's much more important than just being right. So I'm just going to say sorry. And that's what I did. I said sorry and relationship was restored. He speaks to us through... I haven't got any numbers to this. This is number four, though. Through nature and God's creation. He speaks to us. Have you ever been on a mountain and you've been looking at a mountain and you go, wow. Or you could be looking in a pond. Do you know what I like to do? Outside our house, we have this amazing lavender bush. I didn't know it was a lavender bush, but Bob came over and told me it was a lavender bush. And in the summer, there's all these bumblebees buzzing around it. And I like to stand in amongst the lavender and bumblebees and just consider how great our God is. My wife has warned me if I disturb them, they might well sting me. But it's just like, you know, you can look at the creation and think, what a God we have. But he can speak through all sorts of things in creation. You can see something in creation and be reminded of his wonderfulness and his glory. He speaks through believers. He speaks through other believers. So he'll speak through me to you. But other people, it's just not preaching, but it's just like he'll speak through other believers. You know, you can go to somebody and ask them their advice and say, you know, they can say, well, this is what the Bible says, or this is what I think. And God could say, yeah, that's the way, go in it. So, he speaks through music. Have you ever, you know, you felt a bit low and you just sort of, I don't know, put on some worship CD or something and it just speaks through the worship. I've got this lovely instrumental CD of some tunes I know and just, you know, love to just walk around and pray and just let God speak to me. He speaks through circumstances. Do you know, Paul tried to go to Asia and the door kept closing. And they just concluded God didn't want them to go to Asia because they couldn't get there. And then he had a dream and he went to Macedonia. That's what I would put in the other category. He speaks through prayer. When you pray, praying in tongues is really good too. I would encourage you to do that. He speaks through his peace. Philippians 4, verse 7. Should we just look at that? It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds in Christ Jesus. And there's something about the peace of God guarding you. And sometimes, you know, you're going to make a decision and you just, I don't have any peace about that. And I made a decision once. I left my job to go and sell insurance. Can you picture me as an insurance salesman? And I got persuaded and just the benefits and the, you know, and if you can sell insurance, that's great. You know, new car, good salary, commission. And it works if you can sell insurance at that time. There was just a problem that I got talked into it, but I couldn't sell insurance. So you know, it was going to be a disaster. And if you can't sell, they don't keep you on very much. But I had been seduced by all the benefits. And I remember, I just felt uncomfortable. I couldn't get any peace. But I went anyway. And after 2 weeks, it just wasn't working. And I knew that they wouldn't keep me on much longer. And I was just about to get married when this happened a long time ago. And I remember crying, praying and crying, you know, what an idiot I've been. I've lost my job. I've gone into this thing I can't do. And I just repented and I said sorry for not listening to God. I didn't let the peace guard my heart. And then I said, what am I going to do, God? And he said, go back to your old job. So I rang my old boss and I said, look, can I come back? And they said, yes. So they had me back. And I stayed there for 10 years. But it's when you have to let God's peace rule your heart. And sometimes if you don't have peace, it's because God is trying to talk to you. And all these things are not spectacular. It's just the Bible and the Spirit of God within you and creation and other believers and music. And, you know, you can speak through a film. You can speak through, you know, there's nothing, if you like, apparently supernatural about it. It's just the natural way God wants to relate to us. Some of it's subjective. I think God is saying this. And that's why we need to know the Word of God. Because knowing His Word and His nature and His character protects us. Do you remember I said about the man from Marks and Spencer's? So what if God had said to me, go to Marks and Spencer's, there's a man I want you to meet, and then rob him of all the money he has on him. Now I know that that's not God because of what the Scripture says. And we have to renew the way we think, and we'll come to this in a week or two, because that helps us discern what the will of God is. So if I start to think like God, it's easier to hear His voice. However, there are the supernatural means. So God speaks through visions. Daniel had a vision. Paul had a vision. Peter had a vision. So God does speak through visions. But you know, they had a handful of visions. They didn't live in a vision. And I suppose when we say vision, it depends what you mean. Impression is different to vision. So if I have an impression of it's raining and so forth and I have a picture in my mind, that's not a vision. That's just an impression. They're not living in vision after vision after vision. But they had visions. Dreams. Joseph had a dream. Then he had another dream. He had two dreams. I bet he wished he hadn't had any dreams 10 years later when he's in prison thinking, those blasted dreams. If I never had them, I wouldn't have said anything. I wouldn't have been sold into slavery and I wouldn't be here. But do you know how many more dreams he had after the two? Bible says none. There's no recorded. He was the interpreter of dreams, but he didn't have any dreams himself. So he didn't live having these dreams. And I've had one or two dreams in my Christian work where God has spoken to me through dreams. And God does speak to me through dreams. But I don't live on dreams. I had some cheese. You know how you're a little peckish and it's like 9:30 and you think, what can I eat? And there's a block of cheese. And so I sliced a bit of cheese off and one of my daughters caught me and said, Dad, aren't you going to dream if you eat that stuff? I don't know, but it's like dreams are subjective. And we have all sorts of dreams. They're not necessarily all from God. Words of knowledge. God speaks through words of knowledge. We have knowledge of a person. And, you know, Jesus did that to the woman at the well. He said, you've spoken correctly. The man you live with is not your husband, and you've had 5 husbands. I mean, how did he know? It's the word of knowledge. And this woman is going, I'm standing in the presence of a prophet. Words of wisdom. The appearance of angels. There is a lot of angel activity in the Bible. There were angels at the birth of Jesus. There were angels at the ascension of Jesus. There were angels through the Acts of the Apostles. There were angels in the Old Testament, the New Testament. So angels, they're very real and they're very present. And I believe they're with us here now. I believe there are angels amongst us. And occasionally, an angel will step and manifest in our dimension. It's not that they're separate dimensions or anything. They're here. It's just we can't see them. They're spirit beings. And people see angels. But you know, most of us, maybe all of us, we've never seen an angel. I've never seen an angel. I don't feel guilty about it. I don't feel unspiritual about it. I don't feel like I'm a lesser Christian because I've never seen an angel. I just never seen an angel. Never driven a Porsche either. I don't feel any less a son of God because I've not. But he does speak through angels. Supernatural signs. He speaks through supernatural signs. I mean, there's one king in the Bible, in the book of Daniel, you can read it. This hand appears and writes on the wall. Can you imagine that? If you're saying, Lord, I want to know your will, and a hand appears and writes on the wall. Anybody had a hand write on the wall before? In here? Okay, there's none of us. Are we less spiritual than King Nebuchadnezzar? No, we're more spiritual. Because we're followers of Jesus. But nevertheless, there was a hand on the wall. He speaks through a bush, a burning bush. I've never seen a burning bush. Talk. I've seen a burning bush. Actually, kind of. I've seen a fire, campfire. Never spoken to me, though. But that's how God spoke to Moses. He speaks through unusual phenomena. You just think about the 10 plagues. He speaks in these amazing ways, in miracles, signs, and wonders. And we are not unaware of that. But none of that is the normal run of how God wants to relate to me and you. How God wants to speak to me and you. You know, and if you go out and say, well, Lord, I'll do it if an angel appears. No angel's going to appear. Why? Because you're putting a condition on God. Matthew 12 says, some of the scribes and Pharisees said, give us a sign. Give us a sign. Give us a sign, Jesus. And Jesus says, an evil and adulterous generation seek for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So you have, we can chase after signs. Do you know, I went to one conference and they were going on about, you know, there's this guy, water into wine and creating gemstones and all this sort of phenomena. And it's just like, it's like Christian candy floss, really. So what? So what? Is it going to change my life? No. Is it going to make me believe in Jesus more than I do? No. Is it going to make me trust his word more than I do? No. So what? And I don't want to dismiss the signs, but I seek Christ, not a sign. And signs follow the word, not precede the word. And so, you know, as people, we need to cultivate our relational means of speaking to God rather than live for the supernatural means of speaking to God. John Wimber tells this story. He says that some guy rang him up and said, I feel like God wants me to speak to you, and just so that you know that I'm not pulling your leg, when I arrive, on the day I arrive, there will be an earthquake. And on the day I leave, there'll be an earthquake. That's pretty, you know, that's hardcore, isn't it? It's like, okay. And so he arrived, and there was an earthquake. I think it was a 3 or a 4. It wasn't like... And so he got John Wimber's attention, and when he left, there was an earthquake, and it got John Wimber's attention. Why did that happen? I have no idea. Don't know. But sometimes God does do that sort of thing, is the point. But in the main, when I ring up people, I say, hey, my name's Alex. I'd like to come and see you. And I'm known for not being late, rather than earthquakes happening. You know, it's just like, that's just normal. And God doesn't want to be having to do all these signs and wonders to get your attention. He just wants you to start to learn to listen to his voice. that you relate to him and have a relationship with him. Let's not seek a sign. Let us seek the Lord. And I would say this, that God has always got something to say to you and he's always speaking. You know, sometimes he's not talking about the things that you want to know. It's like, if I'd been praying, Lord, how long am I going to stay in Bridge End? You know, he said nothing about it for 30 years and he's probably going to say nothing about it until he thinks it's time for me to move my tent. And it might be, but my tent move might not be from Bridge End to somewhere nice and exotic like Lanzarote or something, I don't know. But it'll be from Bridge End to glory. That could be my comeuppance. That could be it. I don't know. But he does speak to me. So he's always speaking, and I as an individual need to tune my heart towards hearing, and that's what we'll talk about next week. How do I start to hear? And we're not discounting the supernatural. We're just saying that's not the norm. So let's look at what's normal for God to speak, because God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to me. He wants to support your faith so that you're not like Gideon saying, I know you've said it, but... And when you do get like, I know you said it, but what do we do as Christians? Because do we ask for a fleece, a supernatural sign? Don't we ask for a fleece? Well, we'll look at that. But my final scripture today is Proverbs. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. In this sort of journey of following Jesus and, you know, just this scripture is something I was taught years ago and I've tried to live by, is that sometimes we just need to trust God. Not to lean on our understanding. So sometimes he knows better. I'm sure Gwyn won't mind me saying this, but Gwyn was a successful dentist in North Wales. And God says, give it up. Move south. I've called you to something different. And it's like, that's not very leaning on your understanding. It's like, what are we going to live on? How are we going to survive? What about giving? Should I stay a dentist? Shouldn't I stay? But he just gave his old life up to embrace a new life. And it was because he trusted in the Lord rather than leaned on his logic. You know? And sometimes we have to do that. We have to just trust in God. Just go with God. What does God say? Give. And you shall receive. Forgive. And you'll be free. Love. And it's just like some of these things just roll off the tongue. But don't lean on your understanding. Let's just do what God says. And some things are general, and we'll talk about this coming up in the weeks ahead, is this is the general will of God for all of us. And some things are more specific. It's like, you know, for me, I had to, when I married Jane, it was the specific will of God for me. Nobody else was going to have her. She was mine. God had brought us together. And it says, acknowledge him in what we do. Recognize him in what we do. In all our ways, in everything that we do, acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. So if you've been in a Gideon situation with something like, God, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Just ask him to speak to you. And he'll make it clear. He'll make his word clear to you. And over the next few weeks, we're going to come back to this theme again and again, because one of the challenges lots of Christians have is, what's God saying to me? What's the will of God for my life? Where should I go with my life? What? And it's not as hard as you might think. But it starts with trusting in God with all our heart, not leaning on our own understanding, and in all our ways acknowledging him. Because he will make your path straight. Should we just stand together? Let's just pray. Father, we just ask that you would make our path straight. Help us not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust you. Father, we want to walk with you and talk with you and hear your voice. We don't want to be lost in the faith, Lord, but we want to hear the voice and follow. Father, we thank you that you called us right from the beginning and that you've called us to a life of faith and joy. So, Father, I pray for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us in abundance now and evermore. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. This team coffee.